From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Thousands of Americans who bought homes with subprime loans are defaulting, and that's shaking up the U.S. economy and the entire world. This week, America's biggest home mortgage lender, Countrywide, was struggling to make ends meet. The loan giant borrowed $11.5 billion to steady itself. The Federal Reserve helped things by slashing its discount rate, but all signs point to more trouble ahead. The question is, how much? To make sense of this and more, we've got author and economist Julianne Malveaux. She's also president of Bennett College. Julianne, thanks for coming on again.
Good to be with you, Farai.
So how big is Countrywide and how important is a company like this to the U.S. economy?
Well, Countrywide is one of our nation's biggest lenders. In full disclosure, they hold my mortgage. They have aggressively gone after folks to refinance and to do things, and it makes a lot of sense in context. But when you go after people who are already at the periphery of bankruptcy, it doesn't make sense, and that's what they're having to deal with now. When you look at the numbers, and you look at what's going on, what you see is that a lot of people are overextended. Their housing values went up. They refinanced. And in refinancing, they often made bad deals. And those bad deals are like chickens coming home to roost.
Now, when you talk about $11.5 billion, where'd that money come from?
It comes from investors. It comes from folks who understand that you get a rate of return when people are dealing with their home loans. You're dealing with basically opportunities, and those opportunities for Countrywide are more restricted today than they were, say, 2 years ago.
Now, Julianne, let me take this to a more personal level. You mentioned in disclosure that they have your loan, and they have one in every six loans that were financed last year. That's enormous. So when you think about the people, and, you know, I certainly know some who are struggling now to pay their mortgages, what kind of advice would you give?
Make sure that as you refinance, you're going to get a lot of aggressive notes to refinance. Make sure that as you refinance, you understand why you're refinancing. Don't refinance to buy a new car. Maybe refinance for your child's education. But even more importantly than that, as you look at the whole issue of refinancing, make sure that you understand what's at the end of the loan. A lot of people come in and say, oh, this is exciting. I'm going to pay less than I was paying, or I'm going to pull out, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000. But what does that mean in the end? People just have to look at their end game. And I think a lot of these mortgage companies have put it in a perspective where people don't look at the end game.
Now, before we move on to one more topic, there is this Federal Reserve lowering of the discount interest rate. What the heck does that mean? Who does it affect? Does it affect people on the day-to-day?
Well, the Fed is lowering the interest rate because they want to make the price of money cheaper. It makes people like Countrywide a little more solvent. It really says that we're concerned about how much money costs because the interest rate is a cost of money. So basically what they're doing is saying we want to make money a little bit cheaper. We want to make it a little bit easier. We want to make sure that the market responds to a different kind of energy. I think it's a good move in the short run, but it's unsustainable in the long run. And in the short run, I think it's an opportunity for people who are raising questions about where they are to perhaps secure good loans.
All right. Want to move on to another topic. A lot of interest in this. So last week, the humanitarian aid group CARE announced that it would no longer accept food aid from the U.S. government. It argues that the food is sold in bulk in the developing world, and that undermines the efforts of local farmers trying to make a living. Now, on the face of this, it sounds like, hey, people are hungry. What do you think of this move?
I think that they're looking at local markets, which is important. I think that oftentimes food aid comes and crowds out what happens in local markets. We've got to balance the two of them, and I don't know if the move is precipitous, but I do think that we have to make sense of the notion that in local markets, we want to use local food. Especially in the developing world, you cut out aspects of production and therefore job creation. You suggest that you'll take aid from the United States and from others.
Now, there's a situation where the U.S. farmers get these subsidies. Are they helping this sort of family farm? Are they helping agribusiness? And how does this relate to the whole international situation?
Well, the U.S. companies that get subsidies are not always small farmers. And in fact, we've talked, Farai, recently about what happens with small farmers. In fact, the whole notion of a small farmer is being blotted out. Small farmers have hardly any room to play in, nor do smaller farmers in the rest of the world. We're looking at agribusiness, and this is frightening because agribusiness does not provide opportunities for people to do their own economic development. And so when we look at this, we have to say, just a minute, let's just step back for a moment and think about it. And when we think about it, I think that you'll find that especially small black farmers who have been phenomenally hit by the growth of mega farmers are people who are like sit at the periphery of this agribusiness industry as it grows.
And finally for you, there has been a lot of talk about how subsidies have affected things like the African cotton market, where African cotton producers don't feel that U.S. and EU, European subsidies, allow them to sell their cotton at a fair price. Is this becoming more of an issue?
I think it's always been an issue, and it will become more so as we talk about every notion of African trade agreement. We're not willing to deal with the fact that when we take African cotton, perhaps we deal with a farmer in North Carolina, right, where I now live, and what that means. And so the whole way that we begin to talk about trade has to deal with gains and losses on both sides. From the African continent, there have been phenomenal losses because of a series of trade agreements here in the United States. We have to begin to step back from those trade agreements to ask what we intend for the African continent.
Well, Julianne, great information. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Author and economist Julianne Malveaux is president of Bennett College.